Ancient day, in ancient day, I walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The ring, the heart on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The body's young, the semi's weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David James, and welcome to my new show called Fireside Chat with David James. I figured this is a tradition of old, and we'd use it in today's context, where I'll do some thinking and speak my mind, and hopefully you will enjoy what I have to share with you. It can range from anything, from news stories to anything you can think of. Why don't you get yourself a nice beverage and get in the right leverage on your chair and begin to think with me now. First of all, I was thinking today about the fact that the Jews and the government want to tell you who you can hate and who you can't hate. And the next thing they'll want to do is tell you who you can love and who you can't love. And yet again, they've been doing this for a long time. You know, if I did something to you and your family and you hated me for it, you have a right to hate me for that. And you have a right to hate anybody you wish to hate. Hate is one of the natural inbred parts of the human experience. And there's nobody going to tell me or you or anybody else who we can love and who we can hate. If you hate Jews, you must have a good reason for hating them, right? Who the hell are the Jews to tell you who you can hate and who you can't hate? For example, I thought of this and I thought it was, you know, quite interesting. Think of this, right? Well, this is a Christian nation. And in my estimation and what I think should be done is that anybody that is Antichrist should be removed from the nation, because this is a Christian nation. And if you do not ascribe to Christianity, the real Christianity, and you are Antichrist, you hate Jesus Christ, you don't belong in this nation. we wouldn't welcome you in this nation, no matter what the Constitution says. See, there's a problem with freedom of religion. And that's why there's a lot of people that want to go back to the Constitution. I mean, we're still in the Constitution, but they want to reestablish constitutional law. But you see, this the problem is constitutional law is what got us to the place we're at right now. And so to go back to that would just be going another go-round, only to end up at the same place over and over again, just like history repeats itself. However, if we were going back to Yahweh's laws, that would be a horse of a different color. Now, I want you to think of something very interesting here. This is quite interesting, I think. The Jew begs to come in your country and gets in your country. And then when the tears, the fake crocodile tears, cocodrilo, lagrimas de cocodrilo, the fake crocodile tears stop rolling, then business begins. And pretty soon they're telling you who you cannot, who you can like and who you can't like, and who you must not hate them. You can't talk about the Holocaust. You can't do anything. We must take the scriptures out of schools. And on and on and on it goes. But here's something interesting. Let's just picture it this way. This is our house, not the Jews' house. And I don't believe we really wanted them here in the first place. They came knocking on our door and came into our country. Well, let me ask you a question. Say if you invited me to your house, and I came over your house, and after a while I started telling you what to do in your own house, and made demands of you in your own house. How would you feel about that right there? Let's just stop right at that point. How would you feel if I began to make demands of you when you let me come into your house as a guest? What if I told you you could no longer sleep on your own bed, that I had to take that over for myself, because some of us are more equal than others? What if I told you, well, you can't feed me anything less than the best foods? What if I told you that made demands on you in your own home, and I said, I get the first shower in the morning, and you can take a shower after me? I want you to just think of that. How long would I last in your home? Not very long. As a matter of fact, it never would have got that far in the first place, would it have? Then why has it got that far in our nation? There's a little article on the Daily Stormer today. Let's see if I can bring it up here. And it's from Diversity Mark Fry. Jews refute, quote-unquote, conspiracy theory by admitting it is true. Which theory is this, folks? Only with the subtlety of the Talmudic mind can you refute a conspiracy theory by admitting it's true. In an interview with NPR, Pittsburgh Jewess and New York Times writer Barry Weiss admitted the conspiracy theory that Jews promote immigration was substantially correct. Barry Weiss, Jewish writer for the New York Times, says Jews bringing in refugees is not a conspiracy. Quote, the most sacred of Jewish values is the value of haknasat orkim, of welcoming the stranger. The social media posts associated with the suspect suggest that he was interested in conspiracy theories linking Jews to refugees. He was interested in the caravan the president has blown up into a major national news story. I'd just like to ask you about your neighborhood and this synagogue in particular. What was the attitude that the people there had toward refugees? Now listen. You know that the Jews are responsible for bringing these immigrants into our country, right? For instance, we can replace them in Georgia, a chance to rebuke white nationalism. We can replace them. They're in our home, and they want to replace us in our home. They've got into our home, and they'd like to replace us in our home and have us not be in our home any longer. Now, reflect on me in your home. And now, I'm in your home, and I've invited all sorts of people into your home. Because it's a tradition of mine to invite people into your home. You invited me into your home, and then I made all kinds of demands on you. I told you, we cannot have any crosses in the home anymore as well. That bothers me when there's crosses in the home. So you have to change that too. And now I want to bring all sorts of people into your home, and I want to replace you. I want to get rid of you, and I want to take your home away from you. This is essentially what is going on in our country. Do you understand that? In all of our countries. See how it takes on a more personal thing when you really realize that, hey, this is the same thing as what I'm talking about you letting me in your home. See, now that it's personal, you can understand it better, can't you? You can understand, but why are we letting this happen to our nation? Why? You know we don't want these people in here either, any more than I want them in here. So all these Jews want everyone to be welcomed into the land. So what does this tell you? That the Jews shouldn't be let in your land, first of all, because they're Antichrist. You know, after all, the Father's right again and again and again and again. He said, don't bring these strangers into your land. You are to live alone. You are to be a holy people, which means a separate people. You are to separate yourselves from the other people of the world. It's the only way you'll be happy. It's the only way you'll survive. It's the only way you will be able to have children and be able to keep things in line. But yet, you brought the Jew in. And then the Jew wants to bring in all the other people of the world into your nation to steal from you, like the Jew has stolen from you. You know, this was all done in Germany all those years ago. And they didn't want it any more than we want it. And they knew who was doing it. And we know who's doing it. Remember, they've told us over and over who did it. You have to remember that Jacob Javits and Teddy Kennedy who has Jewish blood running through his veins, whether you believe it or not, they are the ones that started this immigration thing back in the 60s, 64, 65, that era, that age, right about those years. And so the trouble began from Jews. Listen, if you invite me into your house, let me ask you this question. What right do I have to bring other people into your house to replace you? Well, it's one of my most sacred values, the value of haknasat orkim, or welcoming the stranger. Well, listen, the way I look at it is, go to your own country, which they don't have, and welcome the stranger there. Or welcome the stranger to be a vagabond and wanderer like you are. Isn't that what you're doing anyway? We don't want Jews in our country. Seriously, we don't. And the reason, there are so many reasons that I couldn't begin to list them all. You know what they are. Number one reason is, without even going anywhere, is that they're inviting people into our country and they have no right to do that. Number one reason of all is they're Antichrist. And what I really believe we should do in our nation is we should pass a law that says if you are Antichrist, then you must leave this nation. Do you know how much healthier this nation would be after the Exodus happened? See, these Jews weren't in the true Israelite Exodus, but there needs to be an Exodus of these Jews and their stranger friends. Let them welcome the stranger to go back to their own land, or let the stranger welcome them into their lands. Like I said, they don't deserve to eat our food. They don't deserve to live in the land of milk and honey when they're accursed people. They've been cursed to be vagabonds and wanderers, to never have a nation of their own. Now listen, if you let them in and you bless them, you bring a curse upon yourself. It's simple, isn't it? I mean, really, what more do I need to tell you than that, really? If you bless your enemies, now you're going to tell me, well, Jesus Christ said to bless your enemies. You see, obviously you can't understand the things of this earth, never mind the heavenly realm, as Christ would have told you. You must forgive the enemies of the tribes, your own tribes. There is no requirement for you to forgive a stranger. There is no requirement for you to welcome a stranger. It is not our responsibility to take care of these strangers whatsoever. We have blessed them in their own nations, and they have come here to curse us. The Jew is a curse on any nation, and they are cursed of Yahweh. They are cursed of the Heavenly Father. So if they want to live in a nation with somebody, they should go to the beasts of the field, the two-legged beasts of the field, anything but the white nations. They don't belong in our countries. They're not an attribute. They're a liability to our countries. The Jew has brought nothing to America that is good. I mean, you may think, well, geez, what about all the wealth that they brought here? Well, we would have had plenty of wealth without them. You mean, what about all the wealth they've stolen here? Now, let me read you something that you may find quite interesting. This is from a long time ago, from the time of Germany. Listen to this. It's called Jewish Names. So that the Jew you shan't recognize, his name turns up in other guise. Herr Nathan calls himself Jonathan, while Levin becomes Levinson. Abraham loses two of his A's, and now his name reads simply Brahm. Others are even more cunning still. They drop the foreign names at once, and you will find high-sounding names like Bludhorn, Siegenreich, Wilchenblau, Olowenstein, and Rosenstolz, and Rosenhain, and Lindenstein, and Blumenfeld. The Jew goes even further still. He chooses names of animals. He calls himself Katz, Hirsch, or Strauss. Others there are who dub themselves Fischbein, Hertz, and Mond, and Stern, and Dreyfus, Block, and Fels, and Stein, and Schloss, and Grossman, and Klein, too. More modest still are those Jews who call themselves by the name of Blum. The rabbi, he is very wise. He calls himself Marcus Ehrenpreis. Listen to this very carefully. And a baron named Rothschild even calls his daughter Kriemhild. You know, there's something going on in the world. There's been something going on in the world for a long time. The Father gave Cain a mark so that we would recognize Cain. Okay? And this seed line of Cain has spent a lot of time trying to hide themselves within our nations. They hide themselves by changing their names. They also hide themselves because they don't associate with us, really, when it comes down to it, unless it's during business. And now they're all over television, and they have made you used to seeing their countenance, which would have scared you in times past. They're a frightening-looking bunch of people. They're all twisted up. And they're very worried that you'll know who they are. As of today, you will notice that they've become very bold because they've got the money. And they believe that they can do anything to you with money. They can buy and sell you. I've heard Jews say, I can buy and sell you. And they probably can to some people. Now, here's another little ditty from the same time period. Now, remember, this is almost 100 years ago. Once a Jew, always a Jew. Jew Itzig had a brainwave. He said to himself, I know what. I'll be baptized. These stupid folk will surely say, look, there goes a Christian man, Itzig Ephraim, one fine day. Called on the local village priest, asked to be sprinkled from the font. That means from the fountain. The priest was all agog to please him. Hear my words, Jew Ephraim, he said. Thee I baptize, Gotthilf Joachim Fridericus Christian Itzig. Now hear what I say. Once a Jew, now a Christian you are, and obedience is required of you. Promise never to forget to eat no meat on Friday, for that would be a sin, hardly to be pardoned. When next Friday he came to see, our Itzig in great glee was making short work of a goose. In other words, he was eating a goose. Now, of course, this is from a Catholic perspective. Yeshua said, don't command to abstain from meats or any of that, but neither here nor there. Listen to the story. So this is after he's baptized, and the next week they find him on Friday eating a goose. Itzig, my man, what does this mean? Cries Reverend Father in furious spleen. You ought to know that on your plate there should be no meat today. Strict penance you must pay for this. The sinner said, I walk, I walk. Why make such trouble all at once? What you see on my plate, what you upon my plate do see, he says, it is no goose, it's just a fish. I bought myself a goosey gander, bethought myself to christen it. On this fried morsel I pronounced, you were a goose, now you are a fish. Now, children, on the other page, the Jew you'll see, can you believe, since baptism, he's really changed? 5 pails of water over his head makes no changes in his heart. One thing always keep in view, once a Jew, always a Jew. Is that propaganda to you? Or is that exactly what goes on? You know, it's funny how many things we have found out about the Jews, and they always like to say, well, that's a hoax. That's not real. Nobody, that never existed. No, no. And yet it's the very thing that has taken place. It's just like this Jew saying to you, oh, no, 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 that's not a goose on my plate. That's a fish. You see what I mean? And the craziest thing of all is there are people that will believe him when he says it's not a goose, it's a fish. When they read Israel Cohen's quote, and it fits everything to the T in the last century and in this century, they'll still say, oh, no, no, that's a hoax. And the people say, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a fish. It's not real. That's not a real quote. That was made up. That was a silly little joke. Sure it was. Can you hear the fire? It's prepared for Jews like this. Let me see. There's another very interesting one I wanted to read to you. How Jews Torment Animals. In this story, the accusations of ritual murder are repeated. 2 boys, Kurt and Otto, go to a Jewish slaughterhouse, hide themselves, where they can then watch the Jews killing a cow. The process of fixing the cow and the operation is described, involving callous brutality and schadenfreude on the part of the Jewish butchers. 4 Jews hold down the cow while its neck is being cut. The Jews stand there and laugh. At the end, Otto says, Kurt, I now believe you. Now I believe you. The Jews are the meanest persons in the world. Kurt answers, yes, the Jews are a murderous people, with the same brutality and lust for blood with which they kill animals, they also kill human beings. Have you ever heard of ritual murders? On such occasions, the Jews kill boys and girls, men and women. From the beginning, Jews have been murderers. They are devils in human form. There is a saying. Now, they are absolutely 100% that Jews are devils in human form. They are the offspring of the devil. And they have been guilty of child ritual murder sacrifice and, you know, adult ritual murder sacrifice as well. And yet they'd love to call this propaganda, like as if this was the creation of somebody's mind that was ill in the mind. But it's not that way at all. Now, the little poem that's at the end of this, it's a saying, they are devils in human form. There is a saying, it says. Now listen to the saying. Anger, envy, anger, envy, hatred, rage are in the blood of the Jew toward every people on earth, who do not belong to the chosen, quote unquote. Now, I want you to think about that right away, right now. The Jew has anger, envy, hatred, and rage, and it's in his blood. But he wants to tell you who you can hate. He can hate anybody he wants, but he wants to tell you who you can and cannot hate. As a matter of fact, not only have they told you who you can and cannot hate, and you can't hate the Jew, obviously, and you can't hate the Negro either. You can hate the white man, but anybody else you cannot hate, the Jew says, right? Now listen. But the Jews have put in the Noahide laws, which claims that anybody that loves Jesus Christ or preaches the Bible or preaches the gospel shall have their head cut off. You're not allowed to love Jesus Christ. So that, you know, at the beginning of this chat, I told you that they want to control who you love and who you hate. Does anybody have a right to tell you who you can love and who you can hate? It's a good question, isn't it? Now, your parents, who would give you good information and would give you a clue to help you in your life, could tell you who you should love and who you should hate, and should tell you who you should marry. The reason being is you need to be married in your bloodline. They tried to keep our bloodline pure. Now, the Jew hates that. And the Jew is involved in race mixing with every race because they must race mix, as I've told you over and over again. They must race mix in order to continue on. That is the other way that they hide. They change their names to hide from you. They stay out of the places you go to, for the most part, to hide from you. And they hide in plain sight from you on the television and in Hollywood, etc., etc., and in the guise of different races, like the Sicilians, like the Muslims. If you look at the Muslims, right, and you take a good look at many of them, they have the same exact characteristics as the Jews. They have big hook noses. They've got those same eyebrows, the big fat lips with the prominent bottom lip, and the curly negroid hair mixed with, you know, whitish. Understood? That's what a lot of the Sicilians have. I'm not talking about the Italians. I'm talking about the Sicilians. They have Negroid hair. That's why they call them Dagos. Moolies. They mix with Moolies. Moulinan. Which means eggplant. So the Jews want to tell you, and they want to use the government to tell you, who you can love and who you can hate. And on the social media, if you don't follow in step with who they want you to love and hate, then you'll be removed from it. Because you're going to be penalized for hating, which is a natural part of your being. You see, the world goes around by love and hate. Hate is healthy when it comes down to staying away from certain people and certain racial groups and certain ethnic groups is healthy for you. It'll keep you alive longer. It's a hatred. I'm not saying that we hate the races, but I'll tell you something right now. The more that they persecute our people, the more we hate them. And naturally, why wouldn't it happen? Now, I'm not saying everybody, because the white race is the biggest offender of the other races, including the Jew, who's not a race, but a race-mixed multitude. I mean, many of the blacks are now hybrids. Ishmael has virtually disappeared from the Middle East and is now a hybrid. The mestizos and all those very short people down there in Mexico, etc., etc., many of them, you can tell, are hybrids. Now listen, here's the poem, I mean the saying. Anger, envy, hatred, and rage are in the blood of the Jew. Towards every people on earth who do not belong to the chosen. He kills animals and men. His bloodlust knows no bounds. The world can only recover when it is rid of the Jew. Now listen, I couldn't agree with that any more than I agree 100%. The Jews, like the blacks, hate all the other people on the planet. They use those other people as a weapon against us. They hate us because we are the original and they are the imitation. And yet the world is so stupid that it doesn't understand what had taken place in Germany. They didn't understand, and now it's happening to them. And, you know, at the end of when all the blood has been spilled and everything else, some people that are able to carry on after that, whomever they will be, will understand then. But it'll be too late then, you see. See, you have to understand that in Russia, this same brutality took place to the, it's just incredible, to the tune of millions. And now the Russian people are just figuring it out after all those millions and millions and millions of people died. And time has passed by. They have finally started to figure out who did this to them. What happened to them? Germany is a closed door to you, isn't it? I can talk to so-called Christians there in the Jewish version of Christianity, and I can make all sorts of sense to them and prove all kinds of things to them. And then the only thing that they can think of is, but what about the 6 million Jews that were killed in Germany? And I just shake my head and I just say, man, it is just, it's so far over the top. Once you know what we know in this world at this point, once you have done enough searching for the truth, you will come to the conclusions that I have come to. If you stopped and you just gave up searching for the truth and you let somebody guide you down some rabbit holes, for instance, I saw this thing today about the Mothers of Darkness Castle over there in Belgium. And this was something Fritz Springmeier brought out. And I saw the same characters that were from this PSYOP thing that goes on. See, they want to keep telling you that it's the Illuminati and that these are that it's not the Jews. And they keep trying to come out with it repackaged over and over and over again. And they're trying to tell you it's not the Jews. It's these are elite people that they may be Jewish, but they no longer ascribe to Judaism. Like as if Judaism was a holy, wonderful, good religion, so to speak. When I've already taught you all about Judaism. Judaism is the same thing as paganism and Satanism. And it is filthy and it is antichrist through and through. Bing, bing, bing. There goes the microphone. Yeah, that's the truth. And so if you were to go back and visit Germany, in the sense of visiting the literature from those times. Well, let me ask you a question. The Germany Must Perish is a book written by Jews. Would you not say that is hatred? How come we're not trying to tell them who they can hate? How come they can discuss Germany, but we can't? The reason why they want to make Germany taboo is they're so afraid of you finding out what the Germans knew. Because if the world ever finds out, like Russia is finding out now, that's why they're totally against Russia. They want to demonize Russia, and it's their latest thing. They want to take it back down and take control over it. And they want the United States white men of the military, these mercenaries who work for the Jew but have been told they're working for Jesus Christ, but they're working for the devil. Not Jesus Christ, but the Jewish Jesus Christ. And they'll do anything for these Jews and for that little bit of fake money that they're given. Plus, they get to be, big men going around shooting people with guns and everything, you know what I mean? Innocent people that have no way to defend themselves half the time. And so they'd love to send them over there to take control of Russia once again and quell all that the people have found out about them. And they're afraid you're going to find out about it. They're afraid the German people are going to find out. You know, many of my videos when I had a YouTube channel would be restricted, and they would keep it out of almost all of Europe, Sweden, and all kinds of places. They didn't want anybody to hear it there. They're afraid. The reason why they want to make laws so that you can't discuss the Holocaust and you can't discuss the Jewish question, etc., etc., is because once it's discussed, you can't help but come to the real conclusions about what the situation really is. It's all right in front of your eyes. I mean, am I telling you anything new? I don't know. I'm trying to tell it to you in a way that you take it personally. Just think about it again. If you invited me in your house and I began to make demands of you in your house and I told you couldn't do this, you had to do this, you had to do that. And then I started bringing in people because it's one of my traditions to go into people's houses and bring all sorts of people in with me and eventually replace you out of your house. How would you like that? Because that's what's being done in our nations. While you think it's time to party. Now, number one, I saw a video today where somebody did a search and paid $22 and change to do this search to prove that there was no fellow arrested in Pittsburgh at all for going into a synagogue. There is no arrest record. And it showed the fact that if you were arrested, it would be in several databases. It's in no databases at all. This fella doesn't exist. This is made up. I told you that this will come back to bite the Jews on the behind, and it will. And then we got a little article. See if I can find it here for you so you can we can just say this to you. I love it. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Okay, listen to this. State of the Nation. This is an article. Everything points to a synagogue massacre that did not take place at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life. No bodies, no injuries, no ambulances, no stretchers, no blood, no video of a single victim, no interviews with congregants or rabbis present, no photos of a single piece of real evidence. Nothing whatsoever has been presented that proves the synagogue massacre even happened. But there was this photo, quite conveniently taken, of a SWAT team member conspicuously carrying the AR-15 assault rifle that was allegedly used in the mass shooting. Folks, you're believing things. And that's Fox News 666. You know that Germany tells you not to believe the fox? That the fox in Germany was always known as the Jew. Abraham Fox, remember him? From the ADL? Listen to this from the Times of Israel. Pittsburgh victim remembered as doting grandfather, selfless community member. Well, let me ask you a question about the community, this selfless community member. Does that mean that he was selfless and he helped all people in the nation? That he was part of the American community and he was a selfless community member? No. What that means is he was a selfless member of the Jewish community. That helped the Jewish community. You know, many Jews are known as philanthropists, and most of that philanthropy is done helping Jewish people. Another thing that is interesting is that they changed it. He was indicted on 29 counts, which again has 11 in it. Remember that I was the one that told you that 9/11 is coded into this story. It was done on the 27th of October. That's 9. That's the devil. That's their father. That's his favorite number. And 11 is the number of the children, the 11 Dukes of Edom. 9/11 is coded. So they changed it and went to 44 counts, another number that is famous for the devil, 44. But what's funny to me is that Donald Trump has not told the American people I think he's tried to by telling you that the media just continues to be the enemy of the people and is lying to us over and over and over again. But he hasn't come right out and say that nothing happened at this synagogue. He played like something happened. He went there and was going to put flowers down and all this kind of crap. You understand? And this is the kind of crap that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Now, let me ask you this question. Outrage as Pence brings out Messianic rabbi to pray for synagogue victims. They're outraged. I thought that they were friends with Christians. This is a Messianic rabbi, and they brought him out. In other words, he thinks he's saved. He believes in the Jewish Jesus. To pray for, so the Jews are outraged as Pence brings out Messianic rabbi to pray for synagogue victims. Now, this headline is one of the ones that I really wanted you to get a hold of because it's something I keep pointing out to you. Listen to this headline. Now, I just told you about Abe Foxman, right? This is what I was looking for. I told you that Germany would always have foxes in school books and taught the children that the fox is the Jew, the fox is the devil, the fox is the one to watch out for. Here's the headline. Foxman, after Pittsburgh, Trump is a demagogue, a threat to democracy and Jews. I want to translate that headline to you now. Trump is a white man, supposedly, and he's a demagogue, and he's a threat to the Jews' democracy. The Jews are the ones that wanted you to have socialized democracy. Remember, I taught you that out of the book, I Testify Against the Jews? That the rabbis in America wanted to change our government from a republic to a socialized democracy, and of course they have. And now they want to change all governments in the world to socialized democracies, and have almost. So, Trump, they've been saying over and over how many people are a threat to democracy and Jews, or it's a threat to the Jews' democracy. See, it's their democracy. It's their beloved democracy. It's not yours, ladies and gentlemen. You wanted a republic. You were given a republic. They stole it from you and replaced it with a socialized democracy, their party's most favorite form of government, which I told you over and over and over again, that it's the most vile form of government, according to President James Madison. And the word democracy is not in the Constitution. We were to avoid the democracy. What kind of government have you given us, Mr. A republic, Mr. Franklin. A republic if you can keep it. A republic if you can keep it. A republic if you can keep it. What kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? A republic if you can keep it. A republic if you can keep it. What kind of government have the Jews translated the republic to, Mr. Franklin? A democracy for the Jews. So, there you have it. This stuff just goes on and on and on and on and on, does it not? How did you like this little fireside chat? I think I'll do more of these. It'll be an hour long. And it'll be something where you can sit back and relax and just enjoy. Now, I'll do my best to make as many of these as I can. Why don't you write me at davidjamesboston@gmail.com and tell me you like this show? Maybe you'd like to support me by going to davidjamesboston.com and going up on the right, and there's a donation button. The Jews, I will say this, okay? They're the promisers of peace. They have promised us that if we would all give up our weapons, that we could have peace in the world. But that has not come true. They're also promising us that if we will all just mix into one brown race, then there'll be peace in the world. But is there any peace within the brown races today? As they are? I mean, even without being mixed with the other races, the most unpeaceful places on the world are where these brown people are. Has the United Nations, another promise of peace, has that brought peace to the world? No. You know why? Because the people that are promising you peace are the ones that are bringing war and have been bringing war for a very long time. Why don't you believe that? Why can't you see that when that's exactly what's right in front of your face? I just don't understand. Well, one thing I do understand is that as long as you keep on blessing these Jews and funding these Jews, funding the enemies of your country and the world, funding the devil against Yahweh, you will have no peace. And once you start to look into Germany, you'll find out that Germany was not trying to take over the world. It is rather the people that claimed that Germany was trying to take over the world that are trying to bring a one world order, Jewish, world Jewish domination. A Jew dominated world. Through democracy and currency. The Federal Reserve banks. You see, when you'll find out, you will find out that Germany was going to free England from Freemasonry. And now Freemasonry rules that land so badly that the people can never get justice, probably again at this point. See, all those people that fought in the war and killed the German people, what'd they kill them for? So that they could bring all these immigrants in and replace the people of England? Hitler wouldn't have allowed that to happen. Hitler and Germany was the last bastion to save, the last defense of the European continent. And you, our forefathers, or whatever you want to call them, idiots, let the Jews make enemies of our own kind, our own brothers, our own tribesmen, and helped us to destroy the last bastion to save the European continent. And now it's time for them to destroy America. And they've been trying very hard, but it's not going as easy as they thought it was. Once they can destroy America, there's nothing left. There's nobody to defend anything any longer. Well, I hope this little talk was enlightening to you, and I hope you enjoyed it. This is David James. And I'll see you on the next Fireside Chat.
Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. Stop working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow. Until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak. The fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm grows. And the owls don't know that it just won't.